Hello and welcome to our University of Strathclyde podcast series, run out of the world-famous School of Education, right in the heart of the beautiful city of Glasgow in Scotland. We bring you a mix of meeting academic interviews, thought pieces, conversations and provocations on all things education, to give you a glimpse into our world-leading education research here at Strathclyde, and of course to stimulate your questions and thinking around the meaning, purpose and practice of education. In schools, in communities, and of course in all our lives.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of our series of podcasts with the School of Education. Today I've got the pleasure of being with Dr. Zinia Mevawala, who is a lecturer in early years education at the School of Education at the University of Strathclyde. Hello Zinia.
Hi Dario, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for accepting to be part of this series. And could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm part of the early years team, as you mentioned, and I'm quite new. I just started at Strathclyde last year in June. I'm from Australia, and I arrived in Scotland at the beginning of this year. And I'm doing a lot of work mostly with the early years team, because that's my focus, and inclusive education. So those are my two sort of areas. And broadly speaking, I'm really interested in social inclusion. And that's me.
Lovely. And Paul, you mentioned early years and inclusion. And today we will be talking about those two areas of interests that you have, and which are, of course, definitely interesting to all of us in one way or another. And how do you personally approach early years education?
So I feel like there's about a million things I could say about this, because I think when I think of early childhood, I think about it in a really broad sense. So not just about education, but also about early years education, care and development. And I think all of those things are really sort of interconnected. And I think the sort of key thing that I would say is that it's all about relationships. So everything is sort of happening in the context of relationships, all learning and all flourishing and all sort of development. And that's not just, it's not just a kind of a relationship between, say, an early years practitioner and a child, but sort of the whole web of relationships. So, you know, when I think about early years, I'm thinking children, families, communities, the natural environment, the physical environment, and you know, children growing in these sorts of contexts of their families and their peers and the community in the early years setting. So all of that kind of having this impact on who children really are and what it means to be a human being. That's the kind of stuff that they're learning through their relationships and, you know, where they belong and how they're connected to people and places and also things like how the world really works. And so I think that's sort of, you know, from an early years approach, we might think we follow children's learning journeys through using play and through thinking about what they're interested in, whether that's how does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly, or they're also, you know, learning about how the world works in other ways. So if they're learning about when we say things, we can hurt other people's feelings, or everybody is really different, but we're all really equal. And so we all need to learn to respect each other and have that sort of compassion. So there's, I think, education and care and development in the broadest sort of sense when I think of the early years. And when I think of the approach, those are the kind of key things: relationships, play, children's interests, following children as the sort of protagonists of their own learning. That's kind of the big picture in a small nutshell.
Yes, well, yes. But I love that because I think it is worth thinking about early years, as you mentioned before, this web with so many elements which are all interlocked, all interconnected, because here we're not just talking about children in relation to formal education, but how they learn. And as you mentioned, all the different aspects that will impinge on how they see the world and how the world develops around them through their eyes and with them, I suppose. And if we think about this gigantic web, but which is fair to talk about, because of course that's the world that children live in and that we all do. What role do you think that, or what roles, if you will, do you think that social education and inclusion play in researching early years education? So if we move more towards the research side of the equation, what do you think that, what's the role that social education and inclusion both might play in that?
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting. I think it's, they're really connected in a way. So I think that it's, again, that they're both sort of play into each other. So I think social inclusion, for me, when I think about that sort of concept, it's important for lots of reasons, but I guess if I clarify what I sort of mean by social inclusion, I'm thinking about in that web of relationships where people and their differences and their diversities are valued and seen as a good thing, so that where everyone sort of has the chance to participate in a way that's meaningful for them and accessible for them, and that, you know, things are sort of fair and equal. That's what inclusion is about. And I think in terms of it supporting us to recognize who we are and to be able to be proud of who we are and to be able to look at difference as essentially a good thing. And I think that's the kind of key reason that I keep coming back to in my head when I think about why, you know, when we're thinking about inclusion in terms of research and in terms of practice, is because difference is a good thing. Like it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful, rich thing. But also we know from the research that when we are more inclusive, things are better for everybody, not just for some people, but for everybody. So when we think about, you know, education and early years education, when we put into place practices that are inclusive to support the needs of children, that then ends up improving the quality of education for everybody in that space. So I think that that's really sort of one of the key kind of important reasons for why we need to sort of focus on it. I think for example, in the early years, children are learning about difference and diversity from a really, really young age. So newborns can sort of tell the difference between their native tongue and a foreign language. By 3 months, they can differentiate and they prefer people who look like them over other groups. So children are learning about difference and diversity from a really, really young age. And if we don't support them to understand that difference is a good thing, they begin to internalize these sort of social norms about certain types of difference being good and other types of difference being bad. And then that sort of propels this discrimination and this exclusion. So the reason that we need to research is in inclusion is to kind of try and stop that from happening, essentially, so that we can, you know, the earlier that we acknowledge and value difference and diversity as a kind of a natural part of being a person and, you know, supporting everybody to feel like they have a sense of belonging in their communities and their spaces, that, and regardless of what that difference is, whether it's in relation to disability or it's in relation to race or something else, we need to do that so that we can actually support that broader inclusion kind of idea to come into practice.
Yeah, I like the idea of, you know, you just mentioned the word natural, and this is exactly what we are or should be doing through education, because we're not, like, when we talk about inclusion, we're not teaching learners anything extraordinary, but we are acknowledging the diversity that naturally happens, that naturally occurs in the world around us. So we are kind of describing the world to them. So this is not anything alien to them, I believe. And based, because, well, you mentioned earlier that you come from Australia, and you've got, of course, your background in researching early years education from an inclusive perspective. Do you have any key messages from Australia, from your own experience, that we may adapt, or perhaps draw from in the teaching of young learners or teacher preparation here in Scotland, or the UK for that matter?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of the context, but there's also a lot of differences between Australia and Scotland, and even I'm realizing more and more between Scotland and other parts of the UK in terms of education. So that's really interesting. But in a similar way, so Australia is really diverse in terms of its population and in terms of its sort of history and its geography. So I think that the way that different things are kind of happening are so influenced by such different factors. And just thinking about the impact on that kind of brings a different perspective sometimes. So the other day I was talking to somebody about, water conservation, which in the Australian context is a massive thing. You don't waste water and you don't, water is really precious, whereas coming to Scotland, that's not the case. But, yeah. But it's like a very different thing. But just the idea that we can look at the same thing, water, from such different perspectives and understand how, when we're talking to children about it, the sort of values and messages that might be emerging that they might be internalizing about water is really precious, or water is something to play with, or water is around all the time. The way in which there's diversities in terms of the impacts of the environments and how we engage with them. But also, I think what's interesting from the Australian context is that because there's a lot, sort of a lot more multiculturalism, a lot of more diversity amongst the communities that are there, that often in practice have seen people have a much more of an explicit anti-bias approach in terms of the things that they're doing. So whether that's in, for example, in relation to water conservation and the environment, it's just really kind of explicit, whereas it's like, yes, sustainability is really important. The way that we recycle water is really important. The way that we engage with these sorts of things is really important. And children can, so the connections being made between the what we're doing with water in our play and then the importance of water in our community and then the importance of water in terms of the environment, those sorts of connections are perhaps kind of seen from a different lens. And so I wonder if there's just scope to think about just different perspectives coming together to unpack the values around the things that we look at and maybe take for granted in some contexts and then in others can think about.
Yeah, that's lovely. And for example, I was thinking about, carrying out a project where you paired up young learners from Scotland and Australia to raise their awareness of exactly like these differences about how children understand water or the environment or resources in different contexts, but at the same time, like the similarities they can think about when it goes beyond their own communities and you think about resources in a broad sense. Well beyond the community and what might happen around the world. And are there any other examples that you can think of in terms of perhaps differences between Australia and young learners here or young learners education here in Scotland?
So I think perhaps not from the Australian context, but another story that's coming to mind is from the Indian context, where I did a lot of my sort of research. And I suppose coming from coming back to your earlier question around, when we're thinking about including different voices and perspectives, often the importance of research in early years is that we get to listen to the perspectives of children, which are sometimes not heard very widely and very broadly, and that can give us an opportunity to perhaps reposition ourselves sometimes to see things from a different sort of lens and to see problems and understand them either in more depth or sometimes really simply. And so I wonder, so for example, the story that I was thinking of was I had a group of young children who I was teaching who just in a like a small circle, and they were 3 years old, and they all had this sort of chalk and chalkboard that they were writing on, and we were one person one chalkboard and chalk thing short, and I was like, oh gosh, where are we going to find a chalkboard and where are we going to find a piece of chalk? And when we positioned that problem back to the children, we're like, okay, so here's the problem. Can we think of a solution? And one of the children, who was three, just broke her chalk in half and then gave it to the other person. And then they just sat opposite each other, facing each other. And there was like this completely very simple solution to make sure that all of the children in the group could be included. And it's just reminds me that these are things that I would never have thought of because I wasn't looking at the problem in the same way. And so I think when we're thinking about research and thinking about, you know, listening to children and having opportunities to facilitate children kind of doing that solutions-focused thinking, that they can come up with things that you would just never think about. So I think that, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking that maybe we can, you know, like listen to them. We should listen to them, but perhaps imitate them. we can learn, perhaps we could let three-year-olds run the world for a few years and things, I'm sure, will be a lot better than they are at the moment.
They'd definitely be more fun.
Definitely, definitely. We need more play. Absolutely, absolutely. And like simple thinking. And in terms of like teacher education or teacher preparation, are there any links or again like similarities or differences that you can think about your previous experience and your participation or your engagement with teacher preparation here in the School of Education?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I think that the way that so I'm thinking particularly about the degrees that are the practice-based degrees, so the BACP and the EYP, where practitioners are sort of in practice and then coming to do the degree, that I actually think it might be something really useful for Australia to learn about the other way around, because there are so many strengths to the way in which the learning kind of goes hand in hand with the practice. So in the Australian context, I suppose there's a different sort of element I'm generalizing when I say the Australian context. I only mean the context that I worked in, which is very different to, you know, all the other parts of Australia. But I know that this there are particular practices of mentoring which are quite good in the sense that so teacher educators and the communities of educators working together with practitioners in a way that sort of supports co-teaching practices for when teachers are going out into practice. Whereas when in the early years, people are always working with other educators and with other teachers. So it's sort of useful to have people who are mentors, but perhaps recognizing that in a particular way, like having time to just have conversations and relationships built where we can discuss things that are happening in practice, I think that's possibly a useful thing for everybody involved in that situation, the mentor, because then they're learning, but also other people. But to be honest, I feel like a lot of those practices are already happening and that they're, you know, often in a really different, rich, complex way. So, yeah, I don't know if that's...
Oh, I mean, that's fine. Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, if we think about, for example, mentoring, we all know that there are mentoring programs here in the UK. But again, it is like the way they are approached or the way they are implemented and carried out which is where we can find, let's say, beauty and all this richness, because yes, we're looking at the same construct, if you will, or the same type of CPD, but the way it is implemented is different, of course, because of, you know, that depends on different circumstances. And just one last question, out of the blue, do you have any favorite children's book?
Oh, Dario, I have hundreds.
Just one. One that you would go, that you would go back to again and again, for example.
Can I suggest three?
Okay, three then, yeah.
Okay, so one is The Black Book of Colors by Menina Cotton, mm-hmm. Which is a fantastic one. The Jolly Postman and Other People's Letters, also love that one. And a third one is Two Mates by Melanie Pruitt. So those three. And if anybody wants more, I have hundreds of lists of books.
Okay, people, so feel free to get in touch with Xenia for a whole list of titles. Xenia, thank you very much again. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And to everyone out there, stay tuned. There will be more podcasts coming up soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening in to our Strathclyde Education Podcast Series. We'll be back soon with another episode.